week's episode of MCW Fancast. My name's Emma, thanks for listening. What a week it's been for Man City women. After a cup-focused week for Nick Cushing and his team, two wins which have seen City progress in both the FA Cup and the Continental Cup competitions. It was a 3-0 win over Watford last Saturday, which secured our place in the fifth round of the FA Cup. Earlier in the week, the draw for the next round of the competition took place. We've been drawn against Championship side Tottenham Hotspur. This fixture will be played away. The kick-off time is yet to be announced, but it will take place on the 17th of February, which is a Sunday. In our second fixture of the week, we travelled to Kings Meadow Stadium, where we met Chelsea in the Conti Cup semi-final. Later in the podcast, I chat to Butter and Blue blog writer Caroline Surratt to get her views on the game. But first, last Monday, I went along to the CFA to a very special event held by the official Man City Women's Supporters Club. They invited along special guest Gary James to talk about his upcoming book, which covers the history of Man City women. I sat down with Gary and he told me all about what fans can expect from the new book. I'm at the CFA and with Gary James. Nice to meet you, Gary.
Hi, thanks.
So you're here today and you're talking about your new projects. For those fans that might not know about it, would you like to just tell us a little bit more about it?
Yeah, basically it's a project capturing the stories of the City women's team from when it was founded in 1988, right the way through to present day. So the aim initially was to interview about 15 women who were involved at various stages of the club's history. I've ended up doing a lot more than that because you can't sort of stop and it's become a bit of a labour of love. But so far I've been able to interview some of the people who were involved right at the beginning, some, well, at every period of the club's existence, right the way through to, you know, a couple of the current players, about five of the current players, actually, people like Izzy Christiansen and Ken Bardsley and so on. Jill Scott was fantastic, actually. Jill Scott was like a breath of fresh air, really, because she was talking about the sort of transformation in her own career, going from playing for teams like Sunderland, which were obviously major clubs, but then arriving here and the way City have transformed women's football to some extent. The project is going to compare the differences between the originals, the mid-period and recent times, and really tell that story of how this club's developed over its 30 years.
Right, great. So, obviously, that's pretty much what fans can expect from the book. You've obviously had a recent publication called Folklore and other publications that cover Man City men and the senior team. How will this book differ from those?
Well, what I'm hoping to do is create a book that's a bit like the City Folklore book in as much as it's colourful, fairly light, but I want it to tell the history of the club as best it can. I mean, I'm not going to be able to cover every moment, every player, it's just impossible. But what I'm hoping to do is tell enough of the stories associated with the club throughout its 30-year history for people to realise that this wasn't a new club that was just established a few years ago. This is a club that goes way back. And that, you know, the similarities or differences between, like, the shirts that players wear, you know. So, for example, one of the players talks about how the kit originally, and even in the 1990s, was hand-me-down kit from the men sometimes. So you'd be wearing a goalkeeping shirt that was like 10 sizes too big, or there'd be a pair of shorts that just were completely the wrong shape and so on. Whereas now, you know, again, some of the current players talk about how lucky they feel that somebody actually washes the kit, which sounds bizarre, but, you know, that just shows you how in such a short period of time it's changed.
How have you found documenting, obviously, all the information that you've been researching over the last, you know, few months and things? How have you found that process?
I've obviously done this sort of thing before, lots of times, really, but the difference this time is I'm telling the story of a football club from the moment it was born through to the present day, but without anything going before, if you like, because no one, I mean, I know obviously there's a supporters club handbook and there's been newspaper articles, but there's never been a book as such on the women's team. And so it's not as if you can just take something off the shelf and say, well, there's the story, let's develop it, let's add to it. It's basically a case of saying, right, where did we play in that first season? How many games did we play? Who were the opponents? What did we do in the second season? What happened in the mid-1990s? And what I'm hoping to do, and I've still got a little bit of way to go yet, I'm hoping to have every single result for the team from 1988 through to 2018, well, through to the end of this season. Every single result, certainly every line-up for the last sort of 10 years, if I can. and images, cuttings, photographs, and the story, really, for the rest of history. So when I've been interviewing players, and it doesn't matter whether it's, again, somebody from who played, say, in the year 2000 or somebody who played in the year 2010, I ask the same sorts of questions. And people are talking about their memories. They're talking about what it was like to play for a club. They're talking about the, more than anything, actually, the sort of friendship, the support. It's really difficult because, you know, men's football, well, men and women have been playing football for since the 1880s and before, but men's football never had any barriers put in play in its way, whereas women's football definitely had barriers. Women were told not to play, women were encouraged not to play, the FA banned it, and all of that. And so when I'm interviewing some of these women who played even in the 1980s, some of them are talking about playing in the 1970s or the late 60s because they, you know, their careers sort of stretched that time. At a time when you couldn't play at school, you couldn't, you know, the FA still banned women's football until into the 70s. So, you know, it's a major transition. And I love this in terms of recording it and telling the story, because it's so important to capture those stories and to say, this football club is probably typical of most women's football clubs. Sure, in the last few years, there's been a lot of money put towards the club and so on, but for most of its existence, this club has been run by women and some men. You know, let's not say it's all women, but women and some men. People have been washing the kits, people have been collecting subs, people have been driving the minibus or driving the cars, people have been, you know, doing scratch cards to raise money for a club, and all those things that go into it. And without those women all the way through, Manchester City women's team would never be where it is today. And I think it's really important to capture that. And as someone who's written about the men's football for years, I see a lot of parallels between what's happened in the last 30 years and what happened at the start of the 1900s when, you know, Manchester City was first finding its successes. It went from being a club that was run by just ordinary people to being a major power, and that's what's happened to the women's team.
How are you, so you spoke then about, you know, collecting the results and the squads and things like that. How are you finding your information?
It's difficult because I keep hitting a brick wall because, for example, match reports were sent to various leagues, fixture, you know, details were sent, and they've not been kept. You know, I've spent a lot of time trying to find people who've salvaged stuff. So basically, it's down to the women who played their scrapbooks. There are odd articles that appear in newspapers. I did go to quite a few games in the early years, the first sort of 4 years of the club. There are some match programmes, but to be honest, it's a difficult search.
Yeah, so this, in comparison then to your other books, perhaps this is more...
Yeah, this is... It's in the end, the book will be similar to the folklore book, mm-hmm. but in terms of research, it'll be much deeper because some of this has never been told. Yeah. Some of this has never appeared anywhere.
Yeah, it's incredible, really. You're able to document it like that.
Yeah, and there will still be some gaps. I can't help that. But the thing for me, really, is that I see this as being very important to do now, and I'm hoping that as the next few years go on, others can build on it. You know, this will be the base, this will be the first history of a club, and then what follows hopefully will be even bigger and better, but, you know, by other people. You know, in 20 years time, when it's the 50th anniversary, I would like somebody to set my book and to build on that and say, well, actually, I've found all this now.
Yeah, that would be incredible. So have you got an idea of when the book is due for release, or is it...
It's still being discussed, but my aim is to get it out on sale before the start of the next season. It has to include this season, so hopefully, you know, there's a bit of trophy success or whatever. But it has to include this season, and then hopefully, if all goes well, I want it out before the start of next season.
Okay. Quite active on social media. Where can people find you? Should people want to keep up to date with what's going on?
Well, my Twitter name is @GaryJamesWriter. @GaryJamesWriter, and I'm on Facebook as well, which is, I think it's GaryJames4, but just do a search on me or on Manchester City and me, and you usually find me. So,
that's excellent. Great. All right, all the best with the book, Gary. And
cheers.
Thank you very much for your time.
Thank you.
It would be great to welcome Gary back on the podcast in the future. Hopefully, he'll come back and talk to us upon the book's completion. So last Saturday then we met Watford in the FA Cup and I spoke with Jenny at half time to get her thoughts on the game. 0-0 going into the break. Here's what she had to say. Oh, Jenny, it's freezing cold. Got your brew on there. Are you warm?
I'd be warmer if I was at home. But...
Goalless first half at the Academy Stadium against Watford. Not really what we probably expected, really, is it?
No, I at least expected him to get through at least once. But, you know, second half to come, legs might tie for Watford and we can capitalise.
Got to give credit to Watford, though, how they've come out and played their game plan and executed that. I mean, they've really been quite tight to us, to be fair.
Yeah, they've limited all our chances. Cut off a bit of the supply down the wing with Emsley, but... Esme's been doing well down the opposite side, so who knows second half.
What would you like to see in a second half?
A win, so I can go home in the warm.
Don't want it to go to extra time then, no?
No.
Want to get it done and dusted?
Yeah.
Do you think we'll make some changes? Do you think it requires a bit of change in the game?
Yeah, I think he's rested a few, hasn't he, with the two games against Chelsea in mind. Obviously, they're the big ones, so... He might bring on a couple of players, we'll just have to see.
That patient play, though, that we've seen City do in the first half, didn't really pay off for us, did it? I mean, we came close, but not close enough.
Yeah, I just think that Watford have closed us down very well and limited what we were doing with the ball, so done their own work.
Yeah, definitely done their own work. All right, thanks, Jenny. Here's Nick Cushing post-match after the Watford result. Speaking on the game itself and the midweek preparations for the game against Chelsea in the semi-final of the Conte Cup.
Credit to Watford, really. I thought they were really resolute and they defended really well. At times they had 11 behind the ball and sat really deep. And yeah, we can be a lot more clinical in front of goal and we can probably get ahead earlier. But I think that's a consequence of putting players in that haven't had a lot of minutes and it takes a bit of time to get your rhythm back and to get into the swing of things. And yeah, in the end, good performance in the end. I think it's natural, really. I think you see that when we put Tessa Wooler and Nikita Paris on, the speed of play and the risks they were taking and their level of play went up. But they're all in form and really confident. The likes of Mel Lawley and Jess Parks and Pauline Bramer, Claire Emsley, they haven't played a lot of football recently because of the performances that we've had. So we expected to be a little dip in performance, although we want to push them hard and we expect them to almost set the standard. You know, I thought they were trying hard and they were trying to do the right things, but I just think it's a consequence of not having a lot of football in them. I mean, we rested Jen Beattie, Jill Scott completely. Caroline Weir was on the bench, but she didn't have a kit on because we didn't want to use her. Keats, we always planned to use her. I think when you're scoring, you want to carry on scoring. And then the aim for Keats was to get half an hour into her and hopefully to get on the score sheet because I think as a striker, you just want to continue to score. And she did that. And I think two more goals means that going into that Chelsea game, she's on fire, she's in form and she's high in confidence. We wanted half an hour with Meg as well, but we had to put Tessa on as well to try and get a bit of rhythm into the play, a bit of speed into the play. But Meg was, it was always planned that Meg was going to play because she's on her return to play. That puts her in the squad now and up for selection for the Chelsea games. And to have Megan back is almost like signing a new player in the January transfer window for us because she's such a good player. It's just a game, really, in the sense of it's a big game and it's an important game. But we've done it so often that it'll be the team on the day. You know, if you look at last year, we beat them in the Continental semi-final, they beat us in the FA Cup final, both at Kings Meadow. You know, the year before we played them in the FA Cup semi-final, the year before we played them in the FA, we've done it so much and we've played a lot of evening games. Last year in the league we went to Kings Meadow on an evening game as well, so yeah, we're used to it. It feels like our second home, Chelsea away, but you know, we respect them, they're a great team. You look at what they've achieved and what Emma's achieved with that team and they're an incredible team. Whether people think that they're out of form or lost games this year, you know, we won't be taking them lightly. I think Emma's an incredible coach and the team is a top team, so it'll be a good game and one that we're really looking forward to. I think when you look at our strategy and the likes of Kira Walsh, the likes of Abby McManus, the likes of Georgia Stanway, they were given these games to get to the level where they are now. And you know, we'll give Jess Parks games. She's now played three games, Continental Cup and this FA Cup game. Esme's played, you know, four league games, five league games plus the Continental Cup and the FA Cup. And I suppose we give them games and it's over to them, really. You know, we've been really lucky with the likes of Stanway and Walsh and McManus and Paris, that as young players they've developed into top players with our help. We just hope that Esme and Jess Parks do that as well. We will take anybody, you know, obviously a home draw. I love a home draw because not because, you know, we haven't travelled as much as we did last season. Last season we wanted a home draw because we wanted to almost stabilise the amount of travel. This is now, it's just, we just enjoy playing here, you know. I think if you look at our home record here, we've lost four games of football here. Four games. Two against Arsenal, one against Reading, one against Atletico Madrid and one against Lyon. So five games. We've lost five games here, so we'll always back ourselves to play well and win football games here.
First half wasn't easy, we made it a bit hard for ourselves, but we knew when we'd be patient and passing the ball a bit better in the second half that the goals would come, so that's what happened in the end, and of course we're really happy to take the win. We had a couple of chances and I was really, really happy that it went in the end. That was the main part, and the final third, play a bit quicker, make loads of runs in behind and keep putting pressure on them and on their defence. And being a bit more clinical and the finish recently. That was an amazing moment today. She's been working so hard. I've seen it firsthand because I did most of my rehab with her together. So obviously we're really, really happy to have her back. I've been training a couple of months now and I feel better every training session. I know there's still more to come, but I'm feeling a bit better and fit, and of course hoping to come help the team and next week in the big games. It's a massive week for us. We definitely want to go to that cup final, and also in the league we want to make sure we keep the pressure high and get the most points we can get, so that will be a really important week. Finding back to my play, of course, as a striker you always want to score, so that was really good to score today, and but also with assists to help the team and play as much as I can to get back to my full fitness.
Hi Caroline, you okay?
I am, yeah, I'm alright, thanks. How are you?
Well, buzzing, mate. Do you know what I mean? Morning after the night before, well, the evening after the night before, let's say. But obviously, really good result last night against Chelsea. Mm-hmm. Semi-final, done and dusted, and now we're on our way to the Conti Cup final.
Woohoo!
Is that all you've got?
Yes.
Oh, are you still tired?
Yes, I'm quite tired, and it was windy last night, so that kept me awake as well.
Yeah, okay. We'll talk about the Watford game first. Mm-hmm. Obviously, that was last Sunday.
No, Saturday.
Oh yeah, of course. See, not used to it, you see. So used to obviously Sunday games in the WSL, not used to it at all. But yeah, Saturday, FA Cup, good result for City, through to the fifth round now. Tottenham in the next round of the competition away. Mm-hmm. It was a pretty good result for City, really, wasn't it? But a great performance by Watford's goalkeeper.
Yeah, no, it's an exceptional performance. She really kept them in the game.
And obviously Pauline Bremer as well. She had a stellar game, performed excellent. She was. It was really, really great that she got her award at the end of the game with a goal.
It was so lovely just to see that, the joy on her face at finally scoring and overcoming the injury and now being back.
Yeah, and she celebrated with Megan as well, which I thought was nice.
I'd
literally got tears in my eyes. Oh. I just thought it was so cute. Obviously so much hard work both of them has gone into their recovery, you know, months, nearly 12 months and over, you know, so obviously since obviously being out and working hard at their recovery and getting back, and obviously to have them both feature in that game. But obviously Megan, that was her first return, and well welcomed to the pitch by the supporters as well. That was a really special moment, I'm sure.
Yeah, and we were treated to one of her throw-ins as well.
Oh yeah,
she's properly back now.
Yeah, that was quite good.
Couldn't have it with without a swearing.
I was just so impressed by Pauline, though. I mean, really, she just... Yeah. The way she she applied herself really well to the game. She was... I mean, she kept getting to the byline. She was able to obviously put the ball across goal. And it was just unfortunate that on three or four occasions, there was no one there just to finish it off with a simple little tap in. But great that obviously it paid dividends in the end.
Yeah, no, it's great to see her back to scoring again.
Okay, so obviously moving on to last night then, Chelsea, yeah. County Cup semi-final, King's Meadow. You went along to the game, so do you want to tell us about the night?
Oh, it was braille. It really was. First half, like the first 5 minutes, we were slowly getting into it, and then we lost it a bit, and Chelsea were coming at us, and we found it quite difficult. And I honestly thought they were gonna go in front, and we were gonna have to come back from that. But God knows what he said to them in the changing room at half time, because I read somewhere that he said he watched a video of their analysis for 12 minutes and had 2 minutes to relay back to them what he wanted them to do. And clearly it worked, because we came back out, put in a much better performance, and yeah, it was just built Keats for the penalty as well. Her celebration, we were all just so happy that we'd finally got in front.
Yeah, obviously a bit of a breakthrough with the penalty shout though.
Yeah. Top left. And once we got the ball rolling a bit more, we were in control of the game. And obviously we got the second goal. I think it was Beats' clearance. She sent it up the pitch, and Keats ran half the pitch, possibly more. Took on Lindahl, who had come out of a goal. And me and Leanne, who sat next to me, both thought it was going wide. We could watch.
Yeah, because she had a similar moment in the game where, you know, you couldn't do anything with it. And then obviously for it to happen again, and it was just a kind of one-on-one with the keeper, and it was just like, this, what's going to happen here?
Yeah,
and then
we
thankfully,
were so nervous.
It was as if it went in slow motion, like time just stood still.
Yeah, and because we were at the other end, it literally did feel like it. Like I said, we couldn't watch. I thought it was going wide, and then she scored, and we literally, the 15 or so of us that were there were just so happy, and we made so much noise.
I can imagine. Like you said there about, you know, Nick, obviously at half-time relaying his message to the team, he was still doing it as he came out onto the pitch back with the team.
Yes, he was very animated with Caroline. Yeah, it was waving his hands everywhere.
I've seen that on the telly. But it was just everything you wanted, everything you could have asked of the team, especially to come out in that second half and to do what they did to get that result. And to, to get through to that final, I mean, it's a huge moment, I think, in this season so far for Man City, don't you think?
Yeah, no, I think it's going to be a turning point now. I think we know that we've got one final, and hopefully we can get the trophy, and maybe we'll get some more.
Yeah, hopefully. Nikita Pauza was saying yesterday that obviously domestically we're still in, you know, three competitions that we've obviously can potentially still win. It's still that game by game attitude, but they've got all their eyes on all three. So certainly after last night's result, that'll give them the motivation heading into the weekend against Chelsea again. This time obviously at the Academy Stadium, another massive game. We'll be wanting us to get the full 3 points from that one, won't we?
Yes, definitely. They'll be out for us after last night's result, and they'll definitely want 3 points as much as we will.
So obviously recording this now before the second semi-final has taken place, Arsenal-Manchester United. Who would you fancy?
if I'm being picky, I'd like to go into the derby, because I had a feeling, I can't remember how long ago it was, I was just like, we're going to get a derby, we're going to get the final. So in some way I'd like to do that, but we know what Arsenal are like. Then again, it's a cup, so...
Anything can happen. This is it.
Yeah.
Right, okay, Caroline. Well, thanks for speaking to me. I'll hopefully catch up with you at the weekend at the Chelsea game, and hopefully speak to you, get your thoughts on that next week.
Okay.
All right, thanks, Caroline.
No problem.
Bye.
Bye.
Bye. This Sunday, we're back at the Academy Stadium, where we turn our attention once again to the WSL. City will be wanting nothing less than the full 3 points to keep their title chances alive. And Chelsea equally will be wanting to bounce back after their midweek defeat. We've had a couple of predictions on Twitter via our Twitter page at MCW Fancast. Caff has gone with another 2-0 victory, with Keats and Beats getting the goals. Nice rhymes there, Caff. Janet thinks that Chelsea will have a different game plan on this occasion and will have something to prove, but hoping for a 1-0 victory. Kickoff at the Academy is 1 p.m. on Sunday, and hopefully it will be a little bit more busier as it's a double header. So they're hoping that some fans will come over to the women's game before they go over to the Etihad for the men's game. So just expect that it might be a little bit busier and allow yourselves a little bit more time getting to the stadium and getting through the turnstiles. And that's it for this week's episode of MCW Fancast. Hope you've enjoyed it. If you're going to the game on Sunday, we'll see you there and have a good week.